We continue Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're still looking at Belhar, which is your long, long confession of faith, affirmation of faith, if you flip a page in the bulletin. Comes out of the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa, 1986, coming out of apartheid. It's a really gutsy statement. And today, the section is about unity. It's easy to see the connections to unity in South Africa in the 80s, perhaps. Segregated society, rules about who can and who cannot own property. And then we sneak back to America and remember that the most segregated hour of the work week in America, of the week period, is still 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Oops. And then we read Paul. And we realize that there's a challenge here to be united. Working in Tanzania last month, one of the things that came up is that they speak Swahili there. And I kind of wondered how that came about. Swahili is spoken pretty broadly across Africa, but it's not one of the languages they speak just south across the border in Malawi. And one of my field officers explained it to me. When Tanzania became independent, their first president decided that they had to be united. And he had a problem because they had 120 tribes and languages. This is not push one for English, push two for Spanish. This is 120 tribes and languages and customs. And so he picked a different language. He picked Swahili to become the national language. Now, we all got laughed at on October 2nd when we had to bring greetings to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania because we said hello wrong for the region. If you take Swahili, they'll tell you it's Jambo. Hello, habari, how are you? Well, not really in southern Tanzania. When you're in the east, it's Kumwene. When you're in the central, it's Magona. When you're in the West, it's Makata. So we were in the central region, and we started off with Makata, and everybody kind of snickered. Look at the poor white people trying so hard to speak Swahili. What does a common language get us? Think about it. Churches have common languages. Theologically, we share a common language and a vocabulary. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, right, there it is. It's just hiding behind the scenes. We think we mean something when we say baptism. Depending on which part of the church family you're from, right? You may think that this is not nearly enough of a container to hold water to do a baptism. Right? We have a common language, even if we don't always agree on what the words mean. So what does that get us? What does it get us? We don't always have a common language, first of all. One of the challenges of being a pastor is that when you walk into a new church, you sometimes find out they call their committees really weird things. So I went into one church, and they didn't have a properties or a buildings and grounds or a maintenance and upkeep committee at all. And I'm like, well, I mean, that explains why you need to repair the roof and why there's water leaks over there, but who does this? Oh, that's the stewardship committee. Really? In the Southern Presbyterian Church, you often don't find a finance committee because the deacons have to do that work. Likewise, in a lot of Southern churches, the properties are maintained by the deacons because the deacons are in charge of all the weddings and all the funerals. And so they're in the building all the time, and they find out when things break. And Session decided they were tired of listening to the deacons complain about it, so they told them to handle it. Makes fellowship hour sound like a pretty good deal, doesn't it, deacons? So even the words we think we know what they mean, we don't always know what they mean. Paul talks about being part of a body together. And in that, we don't have to all do the same things. His analogy also gets at the fact that you can miss something you didn't know was important until it's gone. Spleen, right? Everybody uses their spleen every day, and you think about it often. If it's taken out, Lenita, what do you lose? Not a whole lot. Except some resistance to germs. Which, you know, I don't like being sick. Do any of you like being sick? How many of you have ever been in a group and somebody left the group and suddenly something was missing you could not define? Paul's analogy about the body gets at the fact that some days what people do isn't readily apparent until it's missing. And sometimes in our efforts, we overlook that. Belhar wants to talk about who has been visibly excluded. It's very blunt. It's very terse. Flat out says that they reject any doctrine which divides the church on anything but faith grounds. We're not that good, right? We divide the church over lots of things. We divide the church over type of music we like to sing in church, right? Contemporary service, traditional service. We divide the church sometimes over types of ways we take communion. I am not taking communion by intention. It's okay, I'm not washing the cups if you do it the other way, right? We come up with all of these ways to divide. Paul's challenge, the challenge of Belhar, is to look for ways to unite. One of the observations I had in a conversation with Innocent, because we spent 10 hours a day in a truck together for 12 days, we had a lot of time for conversation, was that we really like looking for divisions. We like looking for differences. And I started thinking back, when did that start? And I remember getting the Highlights magazine. Did any of you get Highlights or give it to your kids or something like that? And there's a picture on this page, and there's a picture on this page, and what does it tell us to do? Find the six things that are different, right? And usually the first, like, four are really easy. So what is it that unites us as a church instead of what divides us? It's easy to do the doctrinal stuff and go, well, the Presbyterians split off here, and then there's another splinter, and then there's another splinter, and then there's another splinter, and then there's... You guys get the idea, right? We keep fragmenting. What is it that unites us? The kids have proven it's not our flavor of ice cream. It's not our favorite food. What is it that unites us? Why are you here? I'm not that good a preacher. You're not here for me. God. And there's something about this God, right? We're not here for Zeus. The Alpha and the Omega, the God who makes things, redeems things, restores things. We're here for the God revealed in Jesus Christ. Gayla already gave a hint that God has brought her through some things that she was not ready to be brought through or even think about being brought through. Ultimately, that's what unites us. And it's really, really tricky because we get stuck on all the stuff that divides us. If you've been in church budget meetings, you've heard arguments that sound exactly like Paul's thing. Well, how come the worship committee gets all the money? You know, if you don't have a building, but we're supposed to give money to mission. Anybody ever been in one of those meetings? So what unites us? You have a great example of it here in Marion. We have these about six churches that essentially form the Ministerial Alliance Executive Board. And you've got the Methodists, and they have bishops. And you've got the Lutherans, and they have bishops, and we don't hold with bishops. But then you've got the Christian church, and they don't do creeds or confessions at all. So how are we going to do this? And then the Catholics are in the mix. And then there's the United Church of Christ, and who knows what they believe. But somehow the piece we come together around is that Jesus says, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick and the hurting, and we believe we've found a way to do that. We don't have doctrinal debates at our board meeting. We have plenty of budget debates, but no doctrinal debates. Because we found in that place something that unites us about the character of Jesus Christ that we can all do and be a part of. This church has agreed not to talk about a number of difficult subjects over the years. And we've done that very successfully. What we have chosen to talk about historically has been mission. It has been supporting missionaries in China and Africa and now Lithuania. It has been about meals and food pantries and homeless shelters and children in need, because we have held on to the fact that we could agree that the gospel says Christ's people are called to do something about that. May not agree about any of the rest of it. After Sunday school this morning, we have no idea who Melchizedek is. But we agree that Jesus Christ calls us to be more together than we are apart. And we believe that Jesus Christ calls us to help the hurting and the sick and the afflicted and the poor. We don't always get it right, but we try a lot. So where do we find this unity? How do we get there to what Belhar is saying we need to be striving for, to what Paul says we are already called to be? We are the body of Christ, like it or not. There are two old jokes that come to mind about it. One, growing up Southern, you hear the best way to do mission. It's very simple. You have the Methodists publicize it. You have the Presbyterians plan it. You have the Baptists do it. And you have the Episcopals fund it. It's a very simple system. It works really well. Fully embodies all the stereotypes you would ever want. So how do we do it that way, knowing that we disagree? Knowing that we aren't always on the same page, but are we in the same book? Are we in the same body? As I get older, yes, you can snicker about that. I have to pay attention to the fact that my body is aging with me. What happens if you lift with your back? Right? So, how do I not break my back? What do I lift with? My legs. Well, that makes sense, right?
I can't do that.
Well, yeah. You're going to have to figure out some other way. You lift with my legs too, Granger. Actually, that's how you pull that off. So it is all connected, right? What happens if you hurt your neck? Have you ever hurt your neck? How much fun is it to have to turn and look at people like this instead of like this? Right? It is all connected. So why don't we remember that? I mean, Paul's pretty explicit about it. He's not even hiding it. It is all connected. We're all connected. So what's the piece there that we forget? I don't have an answer. I wish I had an answer. Life would be simpler if I had an answer. Probably much less comfortable if I had an answer. As you go out into the world, I ask you to think about 120 tribes with their own languages that can communicate in Swahili. I ask you to think about about 8 billion Christians who all can say together that Jesus is Lord, and wonder what could happen if we viewed it as a body, gifted by the one Lord and the one Spirit, and called to the one God's service. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Friends, I'm going to invite you to join with me and say some of what we believe. Printed in your bulletin, this is selections from Belhar. We believe in one holy, universal Christian church, the communion of saints called from the entire human family. We believe that Christ's work of reconciliation is made manifest in the church as the community of believers who have been reconciled with God and with one another. That unity is, therefore, both a gift and an obligation for the Church of Jesus Christ, that through the working of God's Spirit, it is a binding force, yet simultaneously a reality which must be earnestly pursued and sought, one which the people of God must continually be built up to attain. Therefore, we reject any doctrine which professes that this spiritual unity is truly being maintained in the bond of peace, while believers of the same confession are in effect alienated from one another for the sake of diversity and in despair of reconciliation, which denies that a refusal earnestly to pursue this visible unity as a priceless gift is sin, which explicitly or implicitly maintains that dissent or any other human or social factor should be a consideration in determining membership of the church.